As you have heard in the reading, the Odd Fellows' original duties were to visit the sick, relieve the distressed, bury the dead, and educate the orphan. You might wonder how this duty came to exist and how relevant it is to Odd Fellowship now. History does tell us that the duty was extremely relevant in Baltimore, Maryland, when, for all practical purposes, North American Odd Fellowship was founded in 1819. That city was in the grip of a severe epidemic, and sickness, distress, death, and the inevitable result, orphans, were to be found everywhere. Visiting the sick was a daring, bold thing to do in 1819, and indeed for in excess of 100 years more, because of the very real possibility that the visitors would contract the illness or disease. Odd Fellows and Rebeccas, as women were called after a segment of Odd Fellows was established in 1851 to include women, visited the sick as a matter of course, regularly. Odd Fellows and Rebeccas continue to this day to make special efforts to visit the sick. Odd Fellow lodges normally provide monetary sick benefits to its members who were ill or injured and unable to work. A few California lodges still provide monetary sick and or death benefits for members, and assistance to those in need, whether in the form of donations to charities or donations of money or goods and services to members or others in the community, is commonly provided today by all lodges. In addition, lodges commonly provide all kinds of assistance to members who were in need, such as a box of groceries, a cord of wood, or a member or visiting nurse to care for a seriously ill member at home or a family member. With the modern-day social welfare programs operated by government agencies, these services, by the order, are no longer as vital as they once were. But Odd Fellows and Rebeccas still provide friendship that members require for a wholesome and full life. We have a couple of older members in the Clarkdale Cottonwood area who no longer come to meetings, and so we make a point of getting over there to take them to lunch and just to let them know they're not forgotten and to see how they are doing. Burying the dead was taken very seriously by early Odd Fellows, and most lodges purchased land and established cemeteries as one of their first activities in a new town or city. In many areas, all phases of burial, sometimes including services now provided by undertakers, were provided by Odd Fellows in the earlier days. Cemeteries were often open to the public, and plots were sold for a few dollars each to members of the community who were not Odd Fellows. And many California lodges still own and operate cemeteries, and in some instances, the major cemetery in the community is the Odd Fellows Cemetery. There is, in fact, an Odd Fellows Cemetery here in Prescott on Virginia Street. Odd Fellow lodges continue to conduct funeral and memorial services for members or family members, and this may be the only service or may be in conjunction with a church or with other organizations. Educating the orphan was also taken seriously, and orphans of Odd Fellows and Rebeccas, too, could expect to receive at least a high school education through the lodge. Caring for the widow or widower, likewise, was and is one of the basic duties of all Odd Fellows, and it is comforting to realize that most lodges continue to include the widows and widowers of their members in lodge functions and activities. And remembering them on special holidays and at other times during the year is a thoughtful way to demonstrate that Odd Fellows do care for those left behind. Odd Fellows homes in many states were established to provide care for aged Odd Fellows and widows of Odd Fellows, and Rebeccas too. Dan Reardon, an Odd Fellow in our congregation, who happens to be our facilities chair, can tell you about the wonderful Odd Fellows home where his mother lives in Washington State. She recently moved there. Reasons for joining Odd Fellowship in the early days had a many-faceted answer. In 1927, a book commented that no Odd Fellow or his dependents ever will become a public charge. And although the benefits of membership were not lavish, they did eliminate the possibility of being cold, hungry, and homeless. Today, numerous programs were often patterned after earlier programs developed by Odd Fellowship. Those programs include Social Security, unemployment benefits, public assistance, low-income housing, senior meal sites, and Meals on Wheels. The security of belonging to an organization which would help people in times of sickness, distress, or death, and which operated homes for the care and the care of dependents, if their funds dwindled, assured folks they would not be cold, hungry, and homeless. And the security of belonging to an organization which would help members in times of sickness, distress, or death, and which operated homes for their care and the care of dependents, if their funds were depleted, was very, very important. Some people joined the Odd Fellows for the desire of helping others. And this is probably one of the most overriding desires of the present membership in the Three Link fraternity. In modern times, the Odd Fellows and Rebecca's worked hard at improving the quality of life in America. Many lodges provide sponsorship of boys and Girl Scouts troops or youth organizations, youth or adult athletic teams and leagues, hospital and nursing home programs. Arthritis Foundation support and sponsorship of the Odd Fellows World Eye Bank and Visual Research Foundation, in line with the Odd Fellows' duty to promote education, educational loans, and scholarships for deserving young people, are frequently supplied by area Odd Fellows lodges. My first exposure to the Odd Fellows was accepting their contribution toward the $2 million fund drive for a new wing at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur, Illinois. I had not heard of this organization before that day, and that was the same year that I joined my first UU congregation. The next time I was involved with the Odd Fellows was at their State Lodge's Children's Daycare Facility in Lincoln, Illinois, where we moved. Our children were cared for there as John and I went off to Springfield and Bloomington, Illinois each day to our respective jobs. And that nonprofit child care facility gave substantial discounts to low-income families and provided extracurricular activities like dance, swimming, and t-ball for the kids, as well as transportation to and from school. That was great for us. The Odd Fellow couple in charge lived in a small house on the grounds. Our daughter Carolyn was on a special diet when she attended there, not being able to have wheat or egg white or milk or peanuts. And the cook and the kitchen staff took very good care of her. We were very grateful for this wonderful Odd Fellows project, and as I know many area families also were. It was originally a home for orphans. As the state of Illinois began to offer care for orphans mid-20th century, the children's home became a daycare center for children of area working people. How happy I am now to be an Odd Fellow myself, to share friendship, love, and respect for truth and a caring mission with my fellow Quad City members who happen to be primarily Unitarian Universalists. You might ask what the IOOF, Independent Order of Odd Fellows Lodge Number 1, includes in its support work. Decisions like funding to keep the lights on in a family home and providing shelter and support for the homeless in Yavapai County, financing the restoration of teeth, paying to fix a vehicle so someone could get to work, helping young people finish their educations, and prepare for a better life than they have known in their early lives, and helping schools to nurture and develop the skills of their students. But how does a topic like Odd Fellowship end up in a UU sermon? Well, there's the immediate connection that we are here today in the former celebrated meeting hall of Arizona Lodge Number 1 of IOOF. And we share a philosophy of service, compassion, and respect for the truth with Odd Fellows, as demonstrated by our 7 principles. Isn't it true that we Granite Peak UUs share friendship, love, and truth each time we meet? Ours is a warm, trusting, and caring faith community that shares strong agreement with our principles, the first one being the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. And with the Odd Fellows, we UUs strive to make the world a better place in which to live. In the opening ode of the Odd Fellows, it is written, "Join Odd Fellowship of members in the sound of truth and love. Leave disputes and strife to others. We in harmony must move. strong the chain that here unites us, linked with friendship, truth, and love. In our hearts, enshrined and cherished, may these feelings ever bloom, failing not when life has perished, living still beyond the tomb. When I was looking through the 1880 to 1910 membership register, which is here, which has the lovely calligraphy that Sandy referred to, I think, oh, this was the Register of the Odd Fellows Granite Encampment, which I think was like a national convention of members. I noticed that a wide variety of occupations were represented among those early members: county recorder, merchant, carpenter, miner, blacksmith, engineer, undertaker, lawyer, printer, gunsmith, sheriff, telegraph operator, painter, farmer, rancher, clerk, freighter, soldier, butcher, lumberman, teacher, millman, gardener, physician, cook, railroad man, court reporter, real estate agent, engineer, and druggist. These odd fellows came from Arizona, Washington State, California, as far away as Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, Illinois, Michigan, and Oklahoma to attend the encampment in Prescott. I suppose they had business meetings where new officers were elected and new goals were set. I'm sure they enjoyed meals together and social times where stories and ideas were shared. I wonder how many Odd Fellows then supported a woman's right to vote, Social Security, and the establishment of child labor laws. I'd like to think they did. Granite Peak members and friends share with Odd Fellows many concerns and efforts that are in line with the UU second principle, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. The fourth principle, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, and the sixth principle, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. And finally, the seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of life of which we are all a part. This week, Granite Peak co-founder Gwen Janes. Please stand up, Gwen. There we go. Thank you. Told me about the early efforts of Granite Peak UUs to tutor dyslexic reading students under Karen Benson, the Miller Valley reading specialist. They continued this work until the school closed and Karen moved to Taylor Hicks. Gwen continues her tutoring at Taylor Hicks 2 to 3 mornings a week, 1 to 1 with students who have reading problems. She is beginning her 5th year there. Gwen said, "Often I go home and tell my husband about how a student responded with a huge smile when he or she accomplished something and felt good about themselves, and tears come to my eyes. I feel so good about being able to help these children learn to read." I believe Carol and Ray Shearer, please stand up. There we go. Also volunteer to teach literacy in the schools. Gary Baker gave me information about his and Molly Devine's work, please stand, at Abia Judd School and the Prescott Unified School District here in Prescott. He said they help with fundraising, teacher support, and tutor third graders several days a week. Gary said that it's great fun. He once told me that he has learned that kids who don't read by the end of third grade often struggle severely throughout life. So that is why he especially likes to help the third graders. Molly is an AAUW volunteer, and AAUW also provides scholarships for deserving students for a variety of college studies. Sherry Betts, please stand. There we go. Works as a volunteer tutor weekly at the Yavapai County Juvenile Justice Center Detention School and in the Prescott Unified School District's Native American program at Granite Mountain Middle School and Prescott High School. Sherry also serves as a big sister in the Big Brother Big Sisters program, as do several other UUs like Sandy DeVille, Dave DeVille, Bobby Bollinger. Any other Big Brother Big Sisters here? Is there another one? No, it's a fanning. We should also recognize the art docents like Briggy Dickinson, Briggy, Nancy and Dick Chagrou, and others. Are there others besides? Oh, Karen Greenberg. Thank you.
Yeah, Hugh Meyer.
Oh, Hugh Meyer. And Eunice Lovejoy, our art docents, who share the treasures done by the masters and modern artists with school children to enrich their lives. Another UU literacy tutor is Jerry Carley. Jerry, would you please stand? There she is. She regularly meets with Latinx adults at the Washington School to help them with reading English and other difficult tasks. Jerry is also the volunteer director of community education programs for the League of Women Voters. She arranges for informational events on a wide variety of topics to help educate the public about facts of, and true facts of important interest. A great advocate for area teachers is a new Granite Peak person, Gretchen Vorbeck. Gretchen, are you here? She started We Value Our Teachers Foundation, and they continue to help individual teachers with poverty issues. Sandy and Dave DeVille's work with the Food Insecurity Green Bag Project is another example of UU's working to relieve poverty in our area. Lena Huben reminded me that we have numerous Meals on Wheels volunteers, including Kelsey Wilkes, Susan Brenchley, and Norma Meyer. Are there any other Meals on Wheels volunteers? Okay, not yet. A little bird told me that Susan Brenchley serves regularly also as a court-appointed special advocate CASA volunteer for at-risk children. In regards to the UU pursuit of a responsible search for truth and meaning, let me ask any members or friends who are involved with Prescott Indivisible or the Women's Marches or Martin Luther King Week to stand. Terrific, thank you. And finally, in recognition of our UU values in support of the interdependent web of which we are all a part, let me call out Karen Greenberg and Sally Richards, who is not here, I think, for their work with area shelters and homeless animals and the United Animal Friends. Barbara Jacobson and others for their work to save the Dells and support the Northern Arizona Climate Change Alliance. Is Barbara here? And Mary Steenhoek, who I think is here, for her work with Prescott Peace Builders. Friendship, love, and truth. We all treasure these things and make the effort to discover and sustain them. Let's keep going, folks. So may it be. Now, please stand as you are able to sing hymn number 131.
Love will guide us, peace has tried us, hope inside us will lead the way on the road from greed to giving. Love will guide us through the hard night. If you cannot sing, sing like angels. If you cannot speak before thousands, you can give from deep inside you. You can change the world with your love. Love will guide us, peace has tried us, hope inside us will lead the way on the road from greed to giving. Love will guide us through the hard night.
We all emerge from, dwell within, are transformed by, and called back to love. May your mind be humbled before this mystery. May your heart grow hopeful by it. May you be sustained by this love always. Please stay seated for the postlude.